The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And this is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. We return to Donald Trump and him becoming the first American president ever to be found to be a criminal, convicted of 34 felony charges and sentencing to come in the coming weeks. Earlier on in the program, we spoke to law lecturer at the University of Galway, Larry Donnelly, about the legal implications of this verdict in terms of likely sentence and whether or not there would be appeal. We turn now to the political implications with Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning to you, Anton.
Terry, when we were speaking to Larry, one of the things that he said was that it would be interesting to see how this impacted on moderate Republicans and floating voters. Is there such a thing left as a moderate Republican or a floating voter?
I think there is. I think there are a small number of them, but there are people who lean conservative but don't like Donald Trump. And that's who this is going to affect mostly. Those who legitimately are on the fence, it's not over politics or political viewpoint. It's basically over the personality of Donald Trump. So it's those voters. And again, because the race right now is so tight, a swing of a couple of 10,000, say, in various states, swing states, you know, could be enough to tip the election in either way.
Now, we've seen a lot of surrogates and talking heads, both from the Trump family, Trump campaign, and from the Republicans, effectively pitting this as a corrupt court versus Donald Trump argument. In every other instance, when the system has been pitted against Trump, Trump has won and has managed to convince people that the system is rotten. Why would this be any different?
Well, just a small thing. He's lost several major civil cases within the past year. However, again, that's part of his message, that Donald Trump says they are out to get. He's actually not saying that they're out to get him. They're out to get his supporters. He's just standing in the way. What this is, it's a different thing as we look at the various polls that, you know, again, we go back to those voters who are legitimately on the fence. And in polls that they say that, well, perhaps, you know, if he is convicted of a felony, that would change my mind. So again, we're talking the margins here. We're talking most of the country has either made up their mind that they're diehard Trump supporters or they're diehard Trump haters. It's those in the middle that could move either way.
It's interesting the way you characterize it, that it splits diehard supporter or diehard hater. Not much in the way of diehard Biden fans.
That would be an absolute correct assessment. Biden is viewed as the Democrat. He is viewed as the person who could stop Donald Trump. He doesn't generate much love, even among the Democrats. Does not generate much love.
Can you explain that a little, Terry? Because in years gone by, maybe this is a naive view, but I had the sense that in years gone by, you would have a situation where if the economy was doing relatively well, if employment was strong, if you had those kind of indicators, it tended to play well for the sitting president, and there was a sense that they took credit for it. Biden has managed not to really get any credit for the objective positives that are achieved under his administration.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. You know, coming out of the pandemic, again, we're not in quarantine anymore. There's no longer freezer trucks outside of hospitals into makeshift morgues. As you said, the economy is doing better. But the perception among many Americans is that things are not going well. Part of that is fed by Donald Trump and the Republicans constantly beating up that we're a country in decline, that this has gone wrong, that's gone wrong. The economy is really not that good. We're under attack and an invasion from illegal immigrants crossing over the border. So part of it is the strength of Donald Trump's constant hammering away at the quality of American life, and that America is in decline.
And how close is it looking now in terms of polls? As the two candidates, as you weigh them up, we're on a razor thin margin, erring slightly towards Donald Trump on a national scale.
Yes. Well, yeah. Again, and then throw into the conversation, the Electoral College, in which, you know, a handful of states are really the ones that have powers. Everything is still within the margin of errors as far as we go with polls. A poll that came out, you know, very quickly last night after the verdict was that 50% of Americans agree with the verdict. So that shows you how, you know, how divided and how evenly split the country is. So again, your guess is as good as mine on that, because it's that tight. And again, we're looking at very small margins in a few states. That's probably going to decide the election.
As to the underlying polarization in America, if we go back to the sort of the Reagan Democrat, where there was a sense that people were willing to vote across party line, ever since then, we've seen that polarization, that delta grow wider and wider and wider. Regardless of what happens in the next election, is there ever a way to get that zipper to close again?
I don't know, because, again, if you go back to the days after 9/11 back in 2001, where you would have thought that there would have been an opportunity for people to come together. Yeah, they did. But that lasted for what, 2 or 3 weeks? And then immediately it was back into Team Red and Team Blue. So, again, I don't know. And I don't know what that fault line is. Is it an urban-rural fault line? Is it one based on race? That's something I don't know.
And in terms of the Biden campaign and what they will do, because there was a bit of criticism, both criticism and praise, for Biden's decision to comment on the verdict. There was a sense that he should stay presidential and above it. On the other side, the slightly more James Carville Democrats saying, no, you need to take every opportunity. This is a street fight. In terms of how the campaign can use this prosecution, how do you think it'll be grist to their mill?
I think it's something that they will repeatedly hit on. I don't think they will necessarily dwell on it. I think their message is going to be basically what you were saying before. Hey, look at what we've done with the economy. Look at what we've done coming out of the pandemic. I think that's going to try to be their positive message. However, I think that they're going to mention this as often as they can, that the person running on the other side is a convicted felon.
The other thing that I wanted to ask you, Terry, just before we wrap up, is the importance of Roe versus Wade and Donald Trump being the person most associated with the rollback of abortion and reproductive rights in the US. How significant is that going to be? Because as of yet, it hasn't become a focal point in any of the campaigning.
It hasn't. Well, it hasn't on the Republican side. The Republicans really, even though this is something that they wanted, they know that it's unpopular among the majority of Americans. Democrats have been starting to do it. Kamala Harris has been out specifically in Arizona talking about the decision to roll that back, the decision about how different states are putting in different laws that either ban, criminalize, or severely punish women who seek abortions. So that's another wild card. I mean, I think that people, as long as I think that that's going to be something that the Biden campaign will repeatedly hit, that, hey, we're going to protect the rights of women who seek abortions.
Particularly because that softening of the educated suburban female vote was such a threat to Donald Trump. I assume that seen there as a very useful wedge issue.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be used as a wedge issue, you know, on either side. But I think right now in the political climate and in the social climate that we have in the United States, that's going to be a benefit to the Democrats.
Terry, thank you as ever. That's Terry Sheridan, managing editor of WSHU Public Radio. And if you have any thoughts, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent. Or, of course, you can get us for free on WhatsApp 087 1400 106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.